So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, it's Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings, and today's show is going to be on a rather somber note, at least the beginning portion. I'm not sure how long this will actually last. If it doesn't go all the way through, I'll find something else to fill in. But this past Friday marked the 10th anniversary of the double assassination of two police officers in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, as you know, I do broadcast out of North Carolina. I'm a longtime North Carolina resident. And this past Friday, again, marked the 10th anniversary of their assassination by a savage Negro. These were what were referred to as community officers. It was an experiment that was done where officers were put into high-crime communities, and they acted like resource officers, like you would have in a school. They got to know the locals got to know them. There would be some formation of trust, and these two officers were very well-liked and very well-trusted by not only the general community, but the high-risk, high-crime community that they policed. They answered a call. They approached an individual who was the subject of that call. They had a discussion with him. They determined that it would go no further than that. They turned to walk away, and at that point, that individual, a violent Negro thug by the name of Demetrius Montgomery pulled a handgun from his clothes, and he fired that gun point-blank range into the backs of both officers' heads. Both of these officers subsequently perished, and it was a horrible tragedy. I mean, the community suffered for a very, very long time. And by the way, these officers' names were Jeff Shelton and Sean Clark. Very well liked, very well respected in the community. And ironically, a young black teenager, I don't remember his name, he was 14 or 15 years old, actually came to the aid of these officers. One officer was mortally wounded and his partner was trying to bring him back, and this kid came out and tried to offer assistance to both of these officers, but again, they both died from their wounds. And this violent Negro thug, for some reason, did not receive the death penalty. He is serving a life sentence in Albemarle, North Carolina, and has yet to this day to explain his actions. He has given no reason for what he did. No one to this day knows why. So last Friday, the local talk show was discussing two things. First, the repeal of HB 2 being big news in North Carolina, as well as it being the 10th anniversary of these two officers' murders. Now, on this local radio show, a local city councilman by the name of Kenny Smith was being interviewed on this show, and something was brought up, and I want to play this for you.
It is a tragedy. So 10 years has passed. In your opinion, in your view, how has Charlotte changed from 10 years ago to today? We had a caller early on who was a conservation officer. His take on it was that the men and women in blue have changed from peace officers to police officers to now law enforcement officers. That's his take. What is yours?
Whoa, wait a minute. Does that connotation sound familiar? From peace officers to police officers to law enforcement officers? Where have we heard that before? Does that sound familiar, George? To you? Yeah? It does to me, too. Could it have been on this show? Could one of our listeners have called in? Well, let's listen to something else. A little bit further along in that particular show, there was a reporter who was on scene for that assassination 10 years ago, and he happens to work in a different studio down the hall, so he dropped in and was being interviewed what he actually saw on scene that night, and then, well, when the murders happened, and then during the subsequent funeral and funeral procession. Now, here is a clip from that portion of the show.
There's a level of mistrust with the police, especially
last fall.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And in as much as this the whole issue of police-related type deaths and shootings that we've seen play out on the national stage. But here's what I will tell you, and that is I actually covered the funerals both days in a row. And you look at the processions that happened in this town. There were people that were lined up on streets with flags going, you know, from the church to the cemetery. There were people saluting the hearses. There were folks choking back their tears. So it was a very emotional time in the city, and especially when you saw the outpouring from the law enforcement community, where you had departments from around the country to come in,
yes,
and pay tribute to these fallen officers.
Okay. The ceremony to honor Officer Sean Clark and Officer Jeff Shelton. It's been 10 years. Can you believe it? 10 years today. So North Tryon Division Team Office. It's 4045 North Tryon Street. And Doug called us earlier today, and he was very, very choked up. He's a conservation officer, and he was there for both funerals and the procession.
The amount of emotional outpouring and support that I experienced from the community was amazing. When the funeral procession left out, there were people lining the streets. And you do see this sometimes, but not for the miles and miles that we experienced in that procession. There were people standing there waving flags, people in various military uniforms standing there saluting, civilians with their hands over their hearts. And one young lady in particular was on her knees on the sidewalk as we were going by, just with her hands clasped together in prayer. And we experienced this the whole funeral procession route. We got into the railroad tracks on Moorhead Street, and a freight train had stopped. The locomotive was parked on the bridge. The engineer was leaning out the window, saluting us as we went underneath. And I have just never experienced that before.
I'd have been a mess. I've been an absolute mess. You know, I cry easily. Not quite as easily as John Painter, but I'm an emotional guy. I wear my heart on my sleeve, and that would have just destroyed me.
Did that guy's voice sound familiar by any chance? Did that maybe lead into the fact that he was talking about peace officers, police officers, and law enforcement officers? Well, here is the entire portion of his call into that particular show.
10 years ago, unfortunately, we had to have two ceremonies, two funerals, as a matter of fact, one for Clark, one for Shelton. And you've called 704-570-1110. You were at both funerals, is that right?
Yes, I was. And first of all, let me apologize if I break down while I'm relaying this to you, because it was the most emotionally charged experience of my life that I have ever been through. I have attended many fallen officers' funerals over the years, and going through a double service, one the day after the other, is very difficult. But the amount of emotional outpouring and support that I experienced from the community was amazing. When the funeral procession left out, there were people lining the streets. And you do see this sometimes, but not for the miles and miles that we experienced in that procession. There were people standing there waving flags, people in various military uniforms standing there saluting, civilians with their hands over their hearts. And one young lady in particular was on her knees on the sidewalk as we were going by, just with her hands clasped together in prayer. And we experienced this the whole funeral procession route. We got into the railroad tracks on Moorhead Street, and a freight train had stopped. The locomotive was parked on the bridge. The engineer was leaning out the window, saluting us as we went underneath. And I have just never experienced that before. And on the way back from the funeral itself, the burial, because we had the burial in the morning and then had to come back for the wake following that for the second officer, and I don't remember who came first. But I stopped into a local fast food place to get something to eat. And this particular place is known for giving the employee discount to those who serve. And I stopped in, and I placed my order, and the cashier said, "Would you please wait a minute?" And I said, "Yes." And she got the manager, and I assumed that they were going to give me that 10% discount. He came over with this key, and he unlocked the register and canceled it, and he said, "This one's on me." And that was just an indication of just how the community supported. They came together. It's a tragedy, but to see that support, it's amazing.
Everybody's in the same place, looking at the same thing on a day like that.
On a day like that, it's like after 9/11.
Uh-huh.
What we saw nationally after 9/11 is what Charlotte experienced after that tragedy, yes. And I'm sorry, that's what it takes to bring people together. It's so horrible that it happens.
Are you a police officer?
I'm a conservation officer.
Okay, so part of the ranks.
Yes.
How did that change peace officers and how they approach the world? Because some of the folks that I was talking to yesterday about this said that it hasn't been the same since then.
And you're certainly more guarded. It didn't really change what I do because I'm out in the woods and I respond to a gunshot. I mean, I know it's going to be somebody armed with a deer rifle, but as far as people on the street, everybody's more guarded. You lose that trust. These officers thought they had the community's trust, and for the most part, they did. That trust was out there, but that trust was violated. That trust was raped. And I think everyone after that just had that moment of continuously looking over your shoulder and never fully being able to trust again.
I've never served in the peace officer world. What does that do to the ranks? How do people look at each other? How do the police officers look at each other and respond and join arms? I'd have to imagine there's a larger sense of fraternity and camaraderie, as much as nobody wants to get it that way. But I have to imagine that there's a bond that's created during that time that makes things inseparable.
It does. It brings you together. Total strangers come together. And that's an incredible thing. You're coming up to these people that have traveled from as far as 17 states away, and you're just seeing people and shaking hands and hugging and embracing. And actually, as ironic as it sounds, I met my ex-wife at a fallen officer's funeral. You have that camaraderie where you're just as one big family. It's a big blue family.
I think one of the saddest things on a day like that, and not one of the saddest things, but something that would be sad, would be to have been one of the police officers who needed to be on duty that day and missed out on all that.
Well, sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Somebody's scheduled to be there, something happens, they're not, somebody else shows up, and they take the bullet that maybe the other one would have. It's a horrible thing to carry on your shoulders. It really is.
You know, and I'm also referring to the day of the funerals and the day of the memorial and the procession. Obviously, there had to be police officers on the street doing their daily job. That group of people who missed out on all that, I wonder if they... I'm sure they were there, they emphasized, they felt, but there might have been an outside looking in kind of feeling because they couldn't be right there in the thick of it all.
I would assume. I can't speak because I was there, but yes, I can only just put myself in that position and say yes, that you want to be there so badly and you can't, and that hurts too.
How much do you think this profession has changed through the years? I mean, it used to be... I mean, how rare were shootings? How rare was the violence? And now it seems to be escalating, and we're, unfortunately at a record pace here in Charlotte with already 22 dead, unless I missed one in the middle of the night. There's an acceleration that makes things scarier.
There is. And for every action, there's an equal and positive reaction. And the biggest reaction that I have seen over the years is it changing from peace officer to police officer to law enforcement officer. And what I've noticed now over the past 15 years or so is that a lot of departments are hiring more and more returning veterans who have seen combat in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. And they're hardened people, and those are the ones who have become the law enforcement officer. And it's a shame, because years ago we were there to uphold the peace and do that, and it's a shame that it has changed the profession in that direction.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to characterize that. Peace officer to police officer to law enforcement. It's very apt. Hey, I know that was tough for you, and I appreciate your courage, and hopefully you felt safe enough to be able to convey and release your emotions on the program.
Thank you so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure. Believe me, it's my absolute pleasure. Be safe out there.
Okay, take care.
All right, thank you so much. Wow. Both of them. Both funerals. One big family on that day. I know it's a family each and every day for the police officers, but on a day like that, you're losing your brothers.
Well, I have to say, George was on the ball. He edited that name out each and every time and did a very fine job. So did that voice sound familiar, folks? Coming through a very crappy cell phone, voices tend to get distorted, but I'm sure that you recognized it. Gotta take a break. Way, way overdue. I'll be back in a couple minutes. Don't go anywhere.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com, and remember to always be prepared.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Welcome back, folks, and just a brief recap here, going over the 10th anniversary of the murders of two very fine and upstanding police officers in Charlotte, North Carolina, in 2007. Now, you heard before the break what it was like to be in the funeral procession and to see the support, the public outpouring of support. But I want to tell you what it was like to be there at the services themselves. And it wasn't really the services, it was the wakes, where I got to interact with the families. And I honestly don't remember which service was done first and which one was done second. That's really irrelevant. But I know at the funerals themselves, at the services, that church holds 5,000 people, and it was packed. But for the wake, the viewing, we stood in line for hours. And the first wake that I attended, when I came up to the family, I was recognized. And there was one of the family members, I don't know who he was. He was a relative of some sort. He reminded me of an old-time sailor from the 1800s. That's just the way he looked, with the white hair and the beard. And we shook hands, and he looked at me like he knew me, and he said, "Thank you so much for coming." And the following day, when I went to the wake for the second officer, again in this same church, one of the family members, I don't know if it was a mother or an aunt, it was a female family member, when I came up, she recognized me, and she grabbed a hold of me, and she would not let go. Now, in the event that you have never been to a mass funeral before, you move, because there are thousands of people coming through. You don't break the line. And she wouldn't let go. She looked at me, and I know that she knew who I was. And the feeling that I got from both of those people on two different days was that they knew who I was, and the look was, "I understand, and thank you so much for being here." And folks, there is no way that I can convey to you what it is like when you are labeled in the community. And if you listen to this show, you know what I mean by labeling. And then to have the family members of victims of this kind of senseless violence look at you and basically say, I understand who you are, and I understand how you feel, and I understand why. Had they felt that way a week before? I don't know. But they certainly understood at that point what you and I have known for most of our lives. Years ago, and it's coming up on, probably 25 years ago or so, if not more, I worked with a guy that was big into guns, but did not understand who fuels most of the crime. And some of us on the job would be discussing certain things, and he was disgusted by it, until his sister was raped by a Negro. And then he too learned the hard way what unfortunately more and more people are experiencing in our modern society. It's a shame, folks. These liberals out there, they want to love everyone, want to think everyone's the same, they want to sing kumbaya, but it doesn't work. We're not the same, we're different. And you cannot force people to be together. You cannot do that and make it work. And until these people learn this and understand this, they're going to have to learn the hard way. And unfortunately, just as my coworker learned the hard way, who committed those sorts of crimes, the families of these officers learned the hard way who committed the crimes. Is it possible they knew all along? Yes. I don't know. Out of a total of maybe 20 people, only two identified with me. But the identity was real. The emotion was real. And their understanding was real. You may not like cops. You may distrust them. But let me tell you, most of them are there to uphold the law. So on that note, I'm going to leave out with Amazing Grace by the Dropkick Murphys. God bless.